Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori on this Saturday morning. How are we doing this morning? So glad you can be with me as I am every Saturday morning right here on WLIW 88.3 FM. And you can listen to each show online at wliw.org/radio. And as you know, each show is archived on my website at annliguori.com, A-N-N-L-I-G-U-O-R-I.com, and also distributed on podcasts. You can also view my sports interview classic TV interviews on my website now at annliguori.com, interviews with many of the most legendary names in sports. So if you're a history sports fan, just history buff or whatever, you just love hearing stories that Mickey Mantle tells and Gordie Howell and Will Chamberlain, Ted Williams. I've interviewed all these legends, so they are now available to watch on my website, happy to say. Well, I have always been eager to learn as much as possible about nutrition and well-being and anything health-related. I just think the more we know, the better, obviously, and then we can make better decisions on our own health. And I am pleased to share an interview I recently did this morning with one of the foremost researchers of vitamin D. Dr. Leslie Ray Matthews, a retired surgeon, is on a global mission to educate people on the importance of vitamin D, and particularly during these troubling times as we all continue to battle the pandemic. Dr. Matthews says that vitamin D can help combat COVID-19. He has spent millions of dollars of his own money through the years researching the benefits of vitamin D. He says that statistics show that 80% of people who have died from COVID-19 were actually vitamin D deficient. And that includes people who were both vaccinated and unvaccinated. So I think you will find our conversation about the importance of vitamin D pretty enlightening. And continuing on the subject of good health, hydration, as you all know, is very crucial, and our bodies depend on water to survive. Especially if you work out often, electrolytes mixed in with water is also very important. They can help regulate a variety of essential functions such as pH balance, muscle contraction, hydration. And recently I spoke to Hunter Bremer, the director of golf partnerships for a product called BioLite, about the importance of hydrating and electrolytes. I think it's a very important conversation to have in regards to good health and well-being. So I am including that segment in this hour show, and that segment is coming up shortly. Let's look at some of the top sports stories of the week. And well, this past Tuesday, the NFL fined the Green Bay Packers $300,000 and issued fines of over $14,000 to both Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers and wide receiver Alan Lazard for violating the NFL and player union protocols when it came to COVID-19. Rodgers tested positive for COVID last Wednesday. He could not play in the Packers' loss to Kansas City last Sunday, and he's been quarantining in his home in Green Bay and should be ready to play in Sunday's game. He has admitted on a talk show recently that he misled people about his vaccination status and that he takes full responsibility for those comments. He said in quotes, "In the end, I have to stay true to who I am and what I am about. I stand behind the things that I said." End of quote. Rogers said that he did seek alternative treatments rather than take the vaccine because he's allergic to an ingredient in the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines. And a healthcare company in Wisconsin that previously endorsed Rogers, Prevera Health, ended its 9-year partnership with Rogers based on all this. Now, State Farm, another company that has been associated with Rogers for many years, said that they disagreed with some of Rogers' statements, but respect his right to have his own opinion. Well, amen. I mean, we live in a country where we all have the right to our own opinion, right? And I think we need to respect people's right to make their own decisions without this whole, you know, cancel culture trend getting involved. I mean, I'm personally opposed to any governing body making it mandatory to get vaccinated. Now, I am personally vaccinated. I felt that it was the right thing for me to do. I think each of us should be fully educated about getting vaccinated or anything when it comes to our health, and then make an educated decision with the help of a doctor. And if Rogers felt the vaccine was not right for him, and he did say he and his doctor consulted on that decision, well, that's his decision. So it's, I know it's a very politically based argument, which it shouldn't be. It's really all about health, I think. And, you know, I think, yes, we should wear masks inside because we're protecting ourselves and we're protecting other people. But again, that's become political. As far as the vaccine, I don't think you need to, you cannot force somebody to take a vaccine. Maybe they can't based on their own health issues. So obviously a very heated topic, and, you know, good for Aaron Rodgers for sticking up for what he believes in. All right, let's go to something less political, and that is hail to Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, the Duke basketball coach since 1980, and he is coaching this year for the final year. And he coached Duke in his final basketball game at Madison Square Garden, the Mecca, and the Hall of Fame coach has won 5 national championships in his 42 years coaching the Blue Devils. He has more wins in the history of college hoops than anybody, over 1,171 at this precise moment. And at the Garden, Coach K's record is 34 wins, 11 losses, including winning 5 of the last 6 games played there. Boy, what a farewell they imparted on Coach K, deservingly so. He was given many gifts by Garden executives before the game, including a donation to the Emily K Center, a framed photo mosaic of over 300 images from his time at the Garden. That's such a special gift. Really, really nice. Whoever thought of these gifts? 6 bottles of wine, each bottle with a custom label from some of the top moments at the Garden. And just very special farewell tour indeed for Coach K. And the Garden certainly remembered what an incredible career this coach has had, and will continue to have this year, his final year of coaching Duke basketball. Incredible. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, and first start with an interview about the importance of hydration and electrolytes with Hunter Bremer, Director of Golf Partnerships, for a product called BioLite. And then we're going to talk about the importance of vitamin D with Dr. Leslie Ray Matthews, who has been researching vitamin D for years and has really become one of the foremost authorities on the importance of taking vitamin D. All that coming up on Sports Interview with Ann McGorry. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann McGorry, and my guest is Hunter Bremer, the Director of Golf Partnerships, for a product called BioLite. And it is a drink. It's called the IV in a bottle, and it actually restores balance in your body when you are dehydrated. Welcome to the show, Hunter. How are you?
Hey, Ann. Thanks so much for having me. I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. I get dehydrated a lot. I play a lot of golf. I run. I swim. Play tennis in all kinds of climates, but I always feel like I'm dehydrated. And I'm sure that's a common complaint that your company hears a lot from, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're kind of in the dehydration business. Absolutely.
So talk a little bit about the product.
Yeah, so BioLite is the first liquid supplement with the same amount of electrolytes as an actual IV bag. So that's why we're coined as the IV in a bottle. When you drink one BioLite, you're getting the same amount of electrolytes as 6.5 leading sports drinks with only 10 grams of natural sugar. So we're just on a mission to, you know, provide the best possible oral rehydration therapy for people in all types of sports. Obviously, I'm in the golf space is kind of the majority of what I do. But yeah, trying to just get this product into the hands as many athletes and people who struggle with dehydration as we can.
Well, you said a lot right there. So let's go back specifically. It's physician formulated for dehydration, cramps, fatigue, upset stomach, and overindulgence. So it works for all that?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got ingredients in it that fight all of those, you know, or that remedy all those ailments. So it's got, I can go into all of the ingredient list if you'd like, but yeah,
sure,
it's got
ingredients. I'd love to hear it, like how it does it with one third less sugar than leading sports drinks.
Yeah, so it's got milk thistle, which is really good for liver detoxification and helping with stomach cramps. It's got glucuronolactone, which is also another liver detoxifier. It's got B3, B6, B9, and B12 vitamins, which is really good for natural sustained energy, as well as dextrose, which is the sugar. So you tapped into that one third of the total sugar as leading sports drinks. And dextrose is a natural sugar that's derived from monk fruit extract. And this sugar is designed specifically in BioLite to give you a streamlined sense of energy without spiking your blood sugar like high fructose corn syrup and a lot of leading sports drinks does. And then gives you a crash. So that's another great part of a BioLite is it's not going to make your blood sugar rise and make you kind of have that false energy and then crash like a lot of regular sports drinks do.
So I'm a gentleman by the name of Dr. Rollins. He's the inventor of BioLite. Can you talk about him and how he came up with this idea?
Yeah, so Dr. Rollins is a practicing anesthesiologist in Atlanta, and he has a lot of pain specialty treatment in his portfolio over his time as a doctor. And his wife, Janine, had breast cancer about 10 years ago, and Janine had to get an actual IV bag hydration treatment in the hospital before each chemo treatment. And she didn't really like, you know, needles and the way that the actual IV bag made her feel. So for rehydration therapy, they tried sports drinks, they tried powders, they tried Pedialyte, they tried, you know, children's rehydration therapy products, and nothing ever worked. So Dr. Rollins, with his pain specialty treatment and IV fluid rehydration therapy treatment experience, tailored BioLite with all these ingredients. And I can tell you that the first one that was made about 10 years ago doesn't taste like what it tastes now. But so Janine was able to drink these before each treatment, and it really helped her with headaches and nausea and cramping and, you know, fatigue, stomach aches, and all that kind of stuff. And then about 6 years later, Dr. Rollins' daughter said, why don't we try to bring this to the market? And here we are now in 2021, proudly selling the product.
And his daughter is the CEO of the company. Did I read that?
Yes, ma'am. Her name is Jesslyn, and she's been the CEO. She actually, started out as sales director about 4.5 years ago, and then has moved into the CEO position. And yeah, that's where we're at.
So it has one third less sugar than most leading sports drinks. So how much sugar per bottle?
It only has 10 grams of sugar.
As opposed to what's normal for these other sports drinks?
A Gatorade or a Powerade or other typical sports drinks has anywhere from 25 to 35.
Yeah. I mean, I can just, honestly, when I drink those, you know, Gatorade, it just, it doesn't really do much for me. And you just feel like you're drinking so much sugar.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, when you drink one BioLite, you're drinking the same amount of electrolytes as 6.5 leading sports drinks. And if you actually drank 6.5 sports drinks, you would have almost 200 grams of sugar. So we don't want people to do that.
That would not be good. And
no,
it provides,
absolutely not.
The bottling says it provides 550% more electrolytes than leading sports drinks. So talk a little, I mean, I know you're not a doctor, but why are electrolytes so important in hydration?
Yeah, so I mean, I've learned a lot about hydration therapy over the past year of working here. And one of the biggest misconceptions on the bottle that people see is that it has 600 milligrams of sodium chloride in it, which people say, oh, salt is actually, it dehydrates you, which it does, but you also need salt in your bloodstream to retain water. And that's why it has so much sodium and has that saltiness to it when you first take that sip. Because when I introduce it to people, they say, "Ooh, that's salty." But you know, a lot of triathletes and marathon runners and cyclists actually take salt tablets because that sodium allows you to retain water in your body. So yeah, that's why it has so much sodium and chloride in there to help you retain water and to stay hydrated optimally within the body.
And, you know, I play a lot of golf, as you know, and you do too. And I can remember days where I'd be, even in New York, it'd be so humid and I'd be walking a course and I'd be drinking so much water and I wouldn't feel hydrated. So water just doesn't do it, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Water just doesn't do it. You need those electrolytes like sodium and chloride and potassium to help you keep those hydration levels where they need to be within the body. And then also allow you to sweat out that water that you're retaining, because that's how when we sweat, we're cooling the body down. So yeah, that's why when you drink, you know, 8-9 bottles of water on the course, you can still feel sluggish because you don't have those electrolytes within your body that you need to remain optimally hydrated.
That's correct. So who drinks BioLite? Who have you connected with in the sports world?
I mean, we have a lot of, you know, I actually manage our high school and athletic accounts as well. We have a lot of high schools in the Southeast who use it. We're trying to get it in front of some PGA Tour players as well, just to kind of get them optimally hydrated. Justin Thomas actually talks about how he doesn't like using coffee in the morning and he likes electrolytes. And so potentially trying to do something with him. But yeah. We're working on getting BioLite into the hands of, you know, some really high level golfers to help them, you know, focus on hydration, especially with how health and fitness oriented a lot of players on tour are now. We think BioLite really aligns well with the initiative for health and fitness on the PGA Tour right now.
Oh, absolutely. I just think it's a perfect connection to, you know, the PGA Tour, LPGA. Have you talked to any of those people?
Yeah, so we're also trying to do some LPGA events next year, trying to do some charity tournaments that a lot of LPGA players are getting into. So, yeah, that's definitely one of the initiatives next year is trying to get in front of some high-level LPGA and PGA Tours as players, especially since they're walking all the time and with how hot it is in the middle of the PGA Tour season to introduce them to BioLite. Absolutely.
So what are these players, are they drinking other sports drinks or are they drinking water or what are most of the pros, what are they drinking?
Yeah, I mean, some people use noon tablets, some people use liquid IV, some people use their own, you know, personal hydration powders or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I think one of the best parts about BioLite is that it's pre-mixed in a bottle and you don't have to pour it into a bottle of water and shake it up. And one of my biggest problems with noon tablets and those kind of oral rehydration powders when I was growing up was the consistency of the powders was kind of interesting. And you got that like last couple sips was a little chalky. So I think that's one of my favorite parts about BioLite is that it's already pre-mixed in a bottle and you don't have to worry about that kind of weird consistency that a lot of leading powders have.
So what would it be? How would you compare like a bottle of BioLite to if you put a noon tablet in water, shake it up and drink it? Does that still have more grams of sugar than say BioLite?
Noon doesn't have that much sugar, but if you were to compare BioLite to liquid IV, we have the same amount of electrolytes that's in two packages of liquid IV as in one BioLite. So you're getting more electrolytes with less sugar as well, because there's more sugar in one packet of liquid IV than there is in one BioLite. So if you drink two, that would be double. So yeah, you're just getting more electrolytes in BioLite than you are in a lot of the leading powders and a lot of the leading tablets out there as well.
So yeah, you mentioned liquid IV. I mean, you know, now that I think about it, there's a lot more of this on the market today. Can you talk a little bit about how the markets evolve? So there's definitely a space for it out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, people are becoming more and more conscious, like I said, on in golf specific, well, not just golf specifically, but athletes in general are becoming more and more focused on hydration and pre-game, pre-competition hydration therapy. And that's why this market has become so expanded in the past, you know, 5 to 10 years, because people are focusing on how to become optimally hydrated. And like you said, there's absolutely market for it. And it does help with other things like, you know, fatigue and cramping and also overindulgence. We like to coin it as that. But, you know, if you do experience having one too many the night before, you can have a BioLite or a liquid IV in the next morning. And it absolutely helps with how you feel mentally and physically. So there's absolutely a market for it, like you said.
You would expect some of this not to taste great, but talk a little bit about the flavors of BioLite.
Yeah, so we've got our original flavor, which is citrus, which is the saltiest profile. So it's like a saltier lemon-lime sports drink. And then our best seller is berry, which is like a strawberry, raspberry, kind of sweeter, saltier sports drink. That's definitely our sweetest profile that we have out of the three. And then we just released tropical this year, which is like a coconut, mango, pineapple, least salty profile that we've got. So yeah, I would say that berry is definitely our number one seller, but kind of depends on the market and where you're at. But tropical does really well in Florida. Citrus does really well in our backyard of Georgia. Citrus is probably my favorite flavor, just because of this thirst quenching kind of flavor that it has to it. But yeah, those are our three flavors, and coming out with a new one next year. I will leave you with that cliffhanger that we're coming out with a new one.
Oh, I know. So there are three flavors now, and you're going to come out with a fourth flavor?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Okay. And is it manufactured in Atlanta, Georgia?
It is not manufactured. It is manufactured in the United States. I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so Dr. Rollins is the one that kind of put this whole formula together.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I just think it's ingenious, really.
Yeah. I mean, I really love the opportunity that I have to introduce this to golfers and athletes in general, because I think that hydration is something that's overlooked a lot. And when you become optimally hydrated before you're, you know, in competition or performing at the high level that athletes do these days, you need to be hydrated. And that's something that I didn't grow up with a lot of focus on. And it's good to see, kind of like you said, that there's a market for it now because of how important hydration is.
Right. And how are the parents responding to it when you're connecting, you know, with the high school and college athletic programs?
A lot of parents are very thankful that they're getting a sports drink put in front of their kids and, you know, young adults that has less sugar in it and has the ingredients that are required for hydration, because, you know, a lot of these high school and collegiate athletic programs just kind of get the Gatorade or Powerade concentrates and put them in a big cooler of water and mix it in, and it's not really doing much for hydration. But yeah, I've had a lot of really good testimonials from coaches and parents that at halftime kids are fighting cramps or fatigue or nauseousness and stuff like that, and then they drink a BioLite and they're ready to go by the second half. So it's a really fun part of my job to hear how much it's helping, you know, athletes perform at their highest potential level.
Is Dr. Rollins based in Atlanta, or where is he based?
He is. He still practices in Atlanta. He is retiring soon. But yeah, he's been in Atlanta based for a long time.
Well, all the best with BioLite. I think it's a great idea. The IV in a bottle. I think hydration is so crucial for anybody, not just athletes. And, you know, being an athlete myself, I know that water is not enough. So it's interesting to test a lot of these different products and see which one works the best. And it's all also refreshing to know that, you know, there's just so much less sugar in BioLite than other sports drinks. So I appreciate your time, Hunter Bremer, and continued success. Hunter Bremer, the Director of Golf Partnerships for BioLite. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Ann.
It's a bittersweet.
Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and my guest is Dr. Leslie Ray Matthews, retired professor of surgery, trauma, and surgical critical care, and a huge advocate of vitamin D3. Dr. Matthews, what a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you for having me, Anne. It's a pleasure.
So I've read about you and your work with vitamin D3, and tell me how you got into it.
Well, it goes back as far as medical school, back in the dinosaur ages, as I say. One of my nutrition professors in medical school was saying you only needed to eat 3 meals a day to be healthy. And I raised my hand and said, how can you do that when 90% of vitamin D comes from the sun striking your skin and then producing a compound that then goes to the liver and the kidney? Only 10% of vitamin D comes from our diet. This is a very food group that is not in most foods that we eat.
So how did you discover the importance of vitamin D3?
Once I learned it was a hormone, it was game on. And so back in medical school with that same professor, I said, soon as I get out of medical school, I said, I'm going to become famous for this one day in vitamin D research because it's a hormone. And so a hormone is different than a vitamin. A vitamin is like a spark plug that makes a reaction go at a lower temperature. It's like when you eat, your body temperature doesn't go up to 150 degrees, it stays at 98.6. So that's what vitamins and enzymes do. They keep your body temperature at the same, regardless of what you're doing. A hormone works in your blood system. So we have 30,000 genes that determine our intelligence, our height and sex and other thing characteristics, how well your immune system works. So hormone D controls 3,000 out of 30,000 genes. That's what, 10% of your DNA? So just imagine the things that you can do if you learn to manipulate the most powerful chemical compound in your body that controls 10% of your DNA. So I'm like a kid in a candy store being a surgeon. So that's how I got into vitamin D research. I can do a lot of things for my patients.
So you just realize the importance of vitamin D3 and the fact that very few people were really educated on this, correct?
That's correct. Correct. Biochemistry is probably one of the hardest classes in medical school. You may lose up to 10% of your colleagues in biochemistry. So I was a chemistry major and biochemistry was my minor. So actually I tutored biochem in medical school just for the fun of it. So all 110 students in my class passed biochem at Ole Miss. And so it was a challenge to me to just get everybody through the class.
Wow. So you were at Ole Miss. I know you were also a full professor of clinical surgery at Morehouse School of Medicine. Yes. Talk about, you know, where all you've been in your medical career.
Okay. Originally, I went to University of Mississippi, Ole Miss undergrad. So I'm a rebel, as they say, University of Mississippi. I got a chemistry degree, graduated cum laude from chemistry there in 1985. I then went to Ole Miss or University of Mississippi Medical Center. So I was in the Ole Miss system for 8 years where I got my medical degree in 1989. Then I did my residency at Morehouse School of Medicine in Atlanta, Georgia. And then went to Rochester, Minnesota at Mayo Clinic where I did my surgical critical care fellowship. Then I was on staff up there for a while. Then I came back to Atlanta, Greater Memorial Hospital, Morehouse School of Medicine for the last 13, 14 years prior to my retirement in 2019. So I was there and I worked there as a trauma critical care surgeon.
So you're far from retired. I mean, has this become your life's work, to educate people about vitamin D3?
Yes, it has. It made a significant difference in my patients. And so I pioneered a lot of different things in vitamin D. So I was the first to pioneer high dose vitamin D. People, only thing they taught us in medical school was vitamin D toxicity. But actually, it's the vitamin D deficiency that will kill you quicker than vitamin D toxicity. Not that, you know, you should be toxic. But when you have a vitamin D level less than 18 nanograms per milliliter, that's checking your blood. Your risk of death from any cause, whether it's a heart attack, stroke, coronavirus, pneumonia, or whatever, traumatic brain injury, gunshot wound, when your vitamin D level is less than 18 nanograms per milliliter, your risk of death goes up by 30% automatically. So as a physician and as a surgeon, why would I want my patient's mortality rate to be 30% higher when I could just simply give them some vitamin D?
So you can see this, what your vitamin D levels are in a blood test, basically, or no?
Yes. This is a simple blood test, just like you check somebody's glucose or blood gas, or just simple blood test. Just draw blood tubes and send it off to the lab, and you'll get it back in a day or so.
And tell me again, it would be labeled vitamin D, and where do you want your levels?
Well, the federal government says above 30 is 30, above is normal, but all animals in nature run between 50 and 55 in the wild. So if we went out and captured a giraffe and checked its blood level, it would be 50, 55. We captured a lion, it would be 50, 55. But when we bring these animals in enclosures, their vitamin D level drops like ours when we put them in zoos and things like that, or enclosures, they're not out in the sun. So my first question to the federal government, who's smarter, federal government, Mother Nature, Mother Nature? So I've been on Mother Nature. She's been around a lot longer. And so you want your level up about 50, 55, which is normal level. But federal government level, 30, anything above 30 is normal. But that's too low. So in my first paper that we wrote, we grafted a graph called the Matthews-Danner Amiot graph, where we looked at different various levels of vitamin D. So we noticed when our patient's vitamin D level got between 18 and 13, their risk of death went up, like I said, 30%. People started dying left and right, the lower the vitamin D levels were. When we got them above 30, you saw them start level off. We did not have a single person in our ICU that died when the level was above 30, not at 30, but slightly above 30. Then once you get above 40 is very important for women because you get maximum bone density. So which group would that be important for? It would be important for women with osteoporosis and things like that. So, and football players and athletes. So if I have strong bones, I'm less likely to get injured. I'm less likely, more likely to go fall than postseason. You get maximal muscle contraction at 40 nanograms per milliliter. That's also important in athletes. So if I'm a football player and I'm a defensive end and you're trying to sack the quarterback, if I can generate more power and get a little bit more speed, that can be the difference between a touchdown and second and quarterback. So once you get at 40, you have another hormone called parathyroid hormone. So as your vitamin D level goes up, your parathyroid hormone goes down. So that doesn't nadir until you get to 40 nanograms per milliliter. And once you get to 50 nanograms per milliliter, you start seeing your immune system kick in. So vitamin D is a complicated substance at different concentrations. It's not the dosage, it's the concentration. Concentration and dosages are totally different. So it's the concentration in your blood system that determines what your body can do. So there are many papers written that say, well, vitamin D doesn't work, but they're trying to use normal walking around doses on people that don't work in hospital patients. For example, when you go in the hospital, your vitamin D level drops 50% within 24 hours of being in the hospital. So if I'm 30, like the federal government says, and I have a traumatic brain injury, my level's going to be, 15 the next day. So my level should be, that's another indication to tell you should be higher than 30 because you need to give yourself a little cushion, a little wiggle room.
So you're saying they decrease, doctor, when you're in the hospital because of stress?
Stress, yes, you're right. I'm glad you asked that question, Anne. That is a very important question. You bring me to my next point. You can also call hormone D or vitamin D an anti-stress hormone. So anytime your body is stressed, you need more vitamin D. It's like when you're in a race in the Indianapolis 500, you need some high petrol fuel. You can't use regular fuel in a high-performance car. So our bodies are high-performance, so any stress that our body undergoes, we need extra vitamin D because it's being used up. And so you definitely need extra during the times of stress, which could be pregnancy, traumatic brain injury, like I said, all those things. So stress is stressful on the female because that's why a lot of ladies have complications during pregnancy, because you have two people trying to compete for the vitamin D. So the baby's going to take his first. And the mom is, that's why you have a lot of ladies that have postpartum depression. They're totally fatigued. They have no energy. Some of them don't bond with the baby. They have, you know, complications from pregnancy, multiple upper respiratory tract infections. So if you get these levels up, you would actually see a change in the fetal in maternal mortality rates in the United States.
So what's your recommendation as far as, say, a woman over the age of, you know, 50, how much D3 should a woman have?
Okay, it can vary anywhere from, the average person should take anywhere between, you know, after you get your levels checked. I try to encourage people to get the levels checked by the doctor first and see how low you are. If you're really low, like I've seen a lot of people in the teens and the single digits. And remember I said you want to get above 50, 55 in order to help the healthy immune system, everything working. So if you're really low like that, you'll need a loading dose, which is a 50,000 international units. And that has to be written by a physician, which is a prescription strength. So most places you can't buy the 50,000 I use. So taking a, you have two doses. Remember, you have a loading dose to get your level up, then you have a maintenance dose. So the loading dose is using the 50,000 I use. Usually most physicians do it weekly for 7-8 weeks, and then they recheck your level. And then after you get loaded up with vitamin D, the normal maintenance dose is usually anywhere between 1 to 10,000 I use, but that differs on based on several, maybe 40 or 50 different factors. Obese people need more vitamin D than a small person because it's stored in their fat cells. Darker skinned people need more because if they stand in the sun, they have to stand in the sun 3 to 10 times longer than the average lighter skinned person just to produce the same amount of vitamin D. So you remember I said earlier that it's made by the skin, sun striking your skin. So you need a healthy sun. So if you live in a community that has smog and a lot of cloudy days like Seattle, you'll make very little vitamin D. It also needs healthy skin. Elderly people, like once you get over 70, you can only make 25% of the vitamin D that an 18-year-old person would make. People with burns, psoriasis, where the skin doesn't absorb well, make less vitamin D. If you have any liver disease, alcoholic liver disease, cirrhosis of the liver, or hepatitis, obviously your body's not going to make that much. And then kidneys, almost every patient on dialysis with kidney failure needs more vitamin D. And there are other things like malabsorption syndromes that can cause problems, even some medications. If you're on seizure medication, you're on steroids, or HIV medications, your level drop 30 to 50% on a daily basis. So you need a lot higher levels. So I've been doing it so long, I can sit there and talk to a person, kind of, this is a calculation calculated in my head. So there's no one dose to fit all people.
Right. It sounds like you really should sit down with your, you know, physician and discuss this with him or her. And you've done so much research. I know some of your stats show that 80% of people who did not survive COVID were deficient with vitamin D3. And as you mentioned, 97% of African Americans are vitamin D3 deficient, because you're saying they need more sunlight.
Yeah, because the melanin in your skin serves as a natural sunscreen. And so what it does is blocks out the vitamin D. So you have to stay in the sun 3 to 10 times longer than the average lighter person. Sunscreen does the exact same thing. It blocks 97% of vitamin D production. So we recommend people go outside 15 minutes without their sunscreen, then put the sunscreen on after 15 minutes. So I have to preface that to keep dermatologists safe and keep their heart rates and blood pressures from going up.
Exactly. I was going to just ask you about that, because there's so much skin cancer out there.
Yes.
And, you know, so many, you know, particularly fair-skinned men and women are very conscious of sunburn and skin cancer. And what do you say to, you know, the dermatologists?
They're comfortable with that. That's a compromise we agreed upon. You know, you go out 15 minutes without the sunscreen, and make sure you put the sunscreen on at 15 minutes, not an hour or 2 hours later. So only 15 minutes unexposed, and then put your sunscreen on. So we're going into our fall and winter season. So you can only make vitamin D in the Northern Hemisphere from late March through early October. So we're past early October now. So you need the sun at a 90 degree angle in order to make vitamin D. We're just like plants. You need the sun at a 90 degree angle to make chlorophyll and crops and fruits. So if you went outside and planted any crops or fruit, they're not going to grow. So we don't make vitamin D in the fall and the winter, and plants don't make crops in the fall or winter. So one of the things, so we won't be able to make vitamin D in the Northern Hemisphere until late March of next year. That's why people get the winter blues. They get more upper respiratory tract infections. And because of lower, your vitamin D levels drops 30% in the winter and the fall.
Wow. I mean, just fascinating. So the only way one's body gets vitamin D naturally is from the sun. And everybody needs at least 15 minutes of sun without sunscreen.
Yeah, from late March through early October. So then during that time, you can only make it from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. So if you go out in the summertime at 4 p.m., you're just going to get sunburned because you have two different sun rays. You have UVA and UVB. So it's only the UVB sun rays from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. So most people can't get outdoors. I know I was working 100 hours a week, so I could never get outside. So I had to take a supplement. Now, I would love to get outside, but when you're working that many hours a week, you don't have time. And most people do not take lunch breaks while they're outside in the sun either.
Right. So, Dr. Matthews, so, you know, you're talking D3. So what's the difference between vitamin D, vitamin D3, and how do we know what we need to take?
Okay. D and D3 are synonymous. They're the exact same. And so is D3 is the exact form, just a human form. And there's a D2. So D and D3 is the same. And then D2 is made by plants. So every living thing on earth makes vitamin D. That's one of the few substances. Like plants make chlorophyll, but we don't make chlorophyll. Humans don't. So that tells you how important this substance is. Number one, it's made by the sun, involving several organs in your body. Number two, every living organism on the planet makes vitamin D or needs vitamin. So it's very important. It's a hormone.
Right. So when you're going to the pharmacy and you want to buy vitamin D, it doesn't matter if it says vitamin D or vitamin D3. It's the same.
Yeah, it has D3 on there most of the time. So I'm just being a chemist. There's just a chemist in me saying D3. Most people just say vitamin D. So,
but they wouldn't sell D2.
Yes, they do sell D2. D2, most people that are vegetarians or vegans don't like plant-based vitamin D3, so they go with the vegetarian D2. But I used to tell them that the D3 is absorbed 87% times better than D2. And it'll take longer to get your vitamin D levels up with D2 because we're not plants.
This is all very educational. Now, I understand you spent $3.5 million of your own money researching the benefits of vitamin D.
Yes. Yes, I did. Most of my life savings because I really believed in it and stuff. So when I first wrote up grant proposals for vitamin D, I was told I couldn't accomplish this. This is impossible. So I just said, you know, it was like getting an elf on a term paper. First elf ever in my life. And I said, well, I'll just do it myself, prove it. And then, but it turned out to be a blessing in disguise because it freed me up from saying any company or pharmaceutical company saying that they funded me. So when I got asked that question, I can always say, I'm not funded by anybody. I fund myself. And so that gives you more legitimacy because you're going to just tell it what it is. It is what it is. I'm not pressured by any group or pharmaceutical company to say this based on what the pharmaceutical company wants.
That's such a huge point to reiterate because you're not paid by any company, any vitamin company, any pharmaceutical company. This is completely independent research that you have done with your own money. And you're just intent on educating the public about the importance of vitamin D.
Yes. Yes, I am.
That's remarkable. Good. And I applaud you. I just think that is amazing. Now, you have said that coronavirus will not be cured by vaccination. I read that in an article. Obviously, it's not cured by vaccination. But what are your thoughts about, you know, just the whole vaccination issue in general for curbing the coronavirus?
Well, actually, I'm pro-vaccines. As a surgeon, we had to take all the vaccines. I had to take the hepatitis vaccines, which are like a series of 2-3 different shots. I had to take flu vaccine every year, MMR, and all those. So I'm current on all my vaccinations. So my thing is that in order to have a healthy immune system, you got to give the immune system the nutrients that it needs. So this is an adjuvant or an add-on, you know. So a doctor should have more than one way to treat something. People that are allergic to penicillin, you got to come up with another antibiotic if they have pharyngitis. And so then you operate on people, you got to have more than one way of fixing a hernia because you can't do the same thing on everybody based on differences. So if you have a low, that's why you're seeing a lot of breakthrough infections because these people still have low vitamin D levels. So so I'm for hormones, I mean, for vaccines, but you got to have a multidality approach. And so you got to put vitamin D in there. It's the most common nutritional deficiency in the world. Half the world's population, there are 7.8 billion people on the planet, and half of that population is vitamin D deficient. That's why the coronavirus is like just spreading like wildfire around the world. So vitamin D is kind of like the ignition in the old key in the old cars. You put the key in the ignition and turn it on. And so vitamin D rails up your immune system.
So you're saying you must take vitamin D to help prevent any viruses, you know, whether
or
it be
fungal or bacterial or parasitic, and is even important in the cancer cell and cancer surveillance. You can read this. Mayo Clinic put out a paper saying a lady that has breast cancer need to take vitamin D lifelong. So you can look that direct quote up and just put in Mayo Clinic, and women with breast cancer should take vitamin D lifelong. So that's how important it is. It's a hormone.
With all the attention on the coronavirus these last 2 years, doctor, why haven't they promoted the use of vitamin D as a way to help combat, you know, perhaps getting the virus?
Well, first of all, I don't think that's why I'm here trying to educate the public, educate the media and the world, because number one, a lot of people do not know about vitamin D, and even doctors. If I ask doctors, 100 doctors, is vitamin D a hormone, probably 50% or more would say no. So it's been an educational process. And so that's my job, is to educate. I have a passion for it. So that is one reason, because they don't know enough about it. And then being a trauma surgeon, I'm dealing with people that are shot, stabbed, cut, and all over the place. They're at the end of life. So trauma surgeons, we have to react fast, quick, and think quick on our feet. So I'm dealing with people that got multiple injuries, shot 10, 12 times. So these people have sepsis, they have pneumonias and all type pneumonias, viral, bacterial, fungal. So I developed a protocol of high dose vitamin D, and we were able to cut our mortality rate on the trauma service from 11% down to 3%. And we actually went from 2007 to 2019 and didn't have a single malpractice lawsuit at Morehouse. Were my residents perfect? No. But patients are getting out of hospital faster. So several things vitamin D does. It decreases the hospital and ICU length of stay by days. An ICU bed costs $4,000 a day. A floor bed costs $1,400 a day at Grady back when I was there. So if I can cut the number of hospital days, the number of ICU days, then if I can decrease my mortality rate, I have less opportunity to have a malpractice lawsuit occur, because my patients are getting out of the hospital 3-4 days faster. Then they're healing, they're not having wound infections, they're not having heart attacks. We cut our heart attacks and strokes by 50%. So these patients aren't getting bed sores, they're not moving around. And so instead of going to nursing homes, they're going to rehab and then going back home and becoming productive citizens in the country.
Let us stress that vitamin D is a preventative measure and not a treatment. But what else should people be taking? What other vitamins in addition to vitamin D to combat the coronavirus, the flus, things that happen, you know, after October, after, you know, the sun isn't as strong and people tend to be more indoors and less outside in the sun?
Well, Dr. Pollan won a Nobel Peace Prize for his research on vitamin C. So vitamin C is very important. Vitamins can be used to as a form of treatment. But for example, if you have night blindness, these are board questions on board exams. If you have night blindness, you treat night blindness with vitamin A. You have steroid-induced poor wound healing, you treat that with vitamin A also. And so it can be used to treat diseases, but you know, it's still thought in medicine that vitamins can't be used to treat, you know, diseases. You know, if you have a low potassium, you treat low potassium with what? Potassium. And so it can be, and plus this is a hormone, so it makes a difference. So it's not a true vitamin. It was mislabeled as a vitamin 100 years ago when it was discovered. They had vitamin A, B, and C. So they said the next substance must be vitamin D.
So what's next for you? How do you continue to spread the word, and how much more research can you do on vitamin D?
Well, I have enough research and enough ideas in my head for the next 100 years. I don't plan to live that long, but I'm always pushing things to the edge. My God blessed me with the ability to think outside the box, and then criticism or being different never bothered me and stuff. And so a lot of people that laughed at my initial research are actually practicing it now. And I told them I was going to be famous for it. So there are a lot more things we can do with vitamin D. So I can probably do right now as many things with hormone D or vitamin D as George Washington Carver did with the peanut. And I'm still learning.
Well, I hope a book is on your list of things to do. You could write, you know, I'm sure many books on vitamin D, just on that alone. Well, yes.
Definitely. That probably is in the future when I can find time to sit down. I'm constantly on the go right now.
Get everything out of your mind onto the into book form would be wonderful. That way, you know, more and more people can really understand the importance of taking vitamin D. And you can't be everywhere at once, but a book can be a lot of different places, Dr. Matthews. And I know you're also an inducted into the Royal Society of Medicine. So congratulations. You have a very illustrious career and all these accolades. I really appreciate you coming on and shedding light on the importance of vitamin D. It's I feel you can't, you know, do enough to really educate everybody about good health and nutrition, the importance of exercise, and obviously vitamin D is right in there. People need to know more and more about it.
Yes, correct.
Thanks. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Matthews. A pleasure. How do you have a website that people can visit you on? Or
you can reach me through my advertising agency, epimediagroup.com. I have a Facebook page, Leslie Ray Matthews, and I have an Instagram page, Dr. Leslie Ray Matthews also. You can just Google my name and pull up a lot of things.
That sounds great. Continued success, and thanks so much for being on Sports Interview.
Thank you, Ann. Have a great day.
I find Dr. Leslie Ray Matthews and his work and research about vitamin D just fascinating, and I hope you did too. The more we know, the better we can make decisions on how to stay healthy. And the fact that Dr. Matthews is not backed by a pharmaceutical company or any product, that he put all his own money through the years into his research, is really quite noteworthy. My thanks to Dr. Matthews. My thanks to Hunter Bremer, who spoke in the first half of the show about the importance of electrolytes and how the sports drink market has exploded recently. My thanks to Mike Goodsell in production. Have a great weekend. Remember, you're never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream. Keep dreaming and keep working towards that dream. And I look forward to talking to you next Saturday morning right here on Sports Interview with Ann Liguori. It's a bit